I want you to know that this decision, I've labored over this. It's certainly contemplated really to protect the vitality of our long-term ability to invest in the classroom, that we want and need to invest in the classroom. It's been a decision that's been excruciating for me. I know it's additional hardships on families. It's additional hardships on our employees.
Okay, my name is Rebecca Usery, and I currently have a child at Bluff Park Elementary School, one at Simmons Middle School. Once this plan goes into effect, I will have one at the elementary school, middle school, and Hoover High School. As a working single mother to three children, it is impossible to drive my three children to three different schools every day and spend 25 to 30 minutes in the afternoon in the carpool lane. I'm also a manager at a local bank, and I can tell you that I have coworkers and their employees there that are in the same situation. This is going to have a negative impact, not only as parents, but from a business perspective, because we cannot afford to have employees leave for an hour and a half every day to pick up their children.
My name is Chip Watts.
Hey, Chip.
I'm a parent of Hoover. I've been here for 12 years now, have four kids in three schools that include Simmons, Gwynn, and River Chase. I'm here tonight. I'm president of the Greater Alabama MLS, as well as president-elect for the Birmingham Association of Realtors, speaking on their behalf. Based on our membership survey we did today for 330 members, we've already had at least 10 sales that have been lost in the last approximately 1 month since this came announced in the media.
Hi, I'm Valerie Jones, and I have a son that's going to Hoover High School, ninth grade. And I moved to Hoover twofold for the education system, as well as I looked at and considered who had bus service, simply because I'm a nurse, and I don't get to schedule my schedule. I have to be to work when I have to. And my husband the same. My issue with this, Mr. Craig, is that you all didn't even consider your primary stakeholders, which are your parents and the taxpayers. That's the problem I have. And this meeting tonight is pretty much a moot point. It's just something to do to say, oh, we met with them to hear their concerns, because you pretty much affirm we're just spitting in the wind telling you how we feel about it.
Good evening. My name is Ann Louise Burley. I spoke at the meeting last Monday. So most of you have already heard my arguments against this decision. It's a done deal. I don't appreciate that it was done without consulting with us first, but it's done. And what I wanted to say tonight is that I'm listening to everyone. I feel for everyone. I agree with all of the arguments everyone's making. What I'm tired of hearing, though, from you, Dr. Craig, is what you can't do. You can't find the money for this. You can't cut the money from that. What can you do? Can we start thinking about what we can do? I will volunteer my time to sit down and hash it out, work through the budget details with you, the school board, the city council, whoever needs me to do it.
My name is Alan Beatty. I live in Bluff Park. I'm a property owner. I have a child at an elementary school there. I have two more on the way. When my oldest begins attending Barry, her mother and I will not be able to make it. We both work in downtown Birmingham. We feel that this decision abandons us. My plea is this: please fix this, or we and others will abandon you.
Craig, thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate you standing there. I know what it's like to have to make and defend tough decisions. That's what I do in my job on a regular basis. I'm Ryan Hankins. I've got a daughter at Bluff Park. I've been intrigued by the conversation. A number of things confuse me. I'm wondering how parents are encouraged and required to spend pay fees for all manner of classes and extracurricular activities, but we can't do that for buses. I'm intrigued of the concern of a loss of 110 teachers, although that correlates with a 2.6% increase in the ACT composite score at the same time. I'm confused at the calling the loss of projected future revenue a deficit right now. But this is my question. Knowing that the school board can only act on what you recommend, will you, Mr. Craig, recommend the school board reconsider this decision at the next meeting?
I'm taking the feedback, I assure you. Looking at alternatives, and that's the point of this. I cannot make that promise to you tonight that will happen, but I can assure you that your voices are being heard.
So I've got 1 minute, so let me try this. Will you, Mr. Craig, recommend the school board reconsider this decision at the next meeting?
I hear you again. I hear you, and your comments are being heard. Your feedback is being heard. And
so will you, Mr. Craig, consider recommending this? I'm sorry. Thank you. I was not yelling. I didn't know the microphone was here. So in 27 seconds, will you recommend that the school board reconsider this at the next school board meeting?
I hear you, and we'll take your feedback under consideration. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Pam McDougall, and I have a daughter in Simmons Middle School, and my son graduated from Hoover High in 2009. I moved here from South Florida, where you do not send your children to public school because they're not safe. There are dogs, there are metal detectors. It's just not safe. So coming here, I viewed the entire area. My sister lived in Birmingham, and that's one reason I wanted to be here. I looked at Vestavia. I looked at Mountain Brook. I looked at Homewood. But you know what I didn't see in any of those schools was the diversity I see here tonight. And I am not going to raise any of my children in an area where there is not diversity among the student population and among the teacher population and among the school board and city council.
Hello, I am Anastasia, and I go to Barry Middle School, and I need my buses. You know, we're getting Chromebooks, but we don't really need them. We have computers in the morning available in the library. We have computer carts that are able to get to classes, and we just don't need Chromebooks. We need buses.
My name is Tricia Crane. I am a property owner in Hoover and have been here since 1970. I have one question that I really need an answer to, and that is, why are we starting all of the calculations in 2008? What is magical about 2008?
If you go back to 2007, that's when the revenue side of the equation is skewed. That's when we received the 1 cent money from the county, the 1 cent sales tax money. So that's essentially when the economy started going downhill. That's when our property tax base started shrinking, or not growing as fast. It actually contracted the 3 years after that. That's the primary basis.
Okay, can I ask a follow-up? And the follow-up is, when you go back to 2006, which is when you became superintendent in Hoover City Schools, there was a very sharp increase in instructional expenditures over those first 2 years of your superintendency, and the figures that you're all using tonight are at the apex of our spending, and I'm concerned that presents a skewed picture of how we've done things in Hoover all these years. So I'm hoping that perhaps you could reconsider and back those numbers up to maybe 2004, 2005. You've been chief financial officer since 2002. something like that. So I think, I know you've got the institutional history. I would really appreciate that because my numbers, while yes, they go down and this is all really scary, there was some really sharp increase in spending in 06 and 07, not related to that one cent sales tax.
Yeah, a little bit about... A little bit about that. If my memory serves, I think 2007 and 2008, the state gave, I think they gave back-to-back raises. I want to say there were benefit increases as well. And that's one of the inherent problems with education funding is the state formula is essentially cost-driven. It's selectively cost-driven. So we employ a lot of folks over and above what the state funding formula considers. So when you see sharp increases, a lot of that's because raises are incorporated. I want to say there was a 7 and then an 8. I can't recall, but you'll see those sharp spikes and you'll see those benefit increases employed in those numbers. And that's a really good point because what happens is, and what's happened over the course of these years with state funding is, it's become so wrapped around personnel costs that there's nothing else that it's paying for, hardly. So when they increase, as they did this year, and this is a good example, next year when we look at our financial statements, you're going to look at them, you're going to say, well, state revenue was raised $4 million, and it's going to be. Our allocation next year is $4 million more than this year. However, the cost associated with the underlying mandates is about $5.5 million. So we gain revenue, but we lose purchasing power in the process. And if I recall, that was a big part of the 06 and 07 numbers.